arguing. Listen, church, praising the Lord is so much more than singing songs. You know, we come into the church and we gather, you know, in some way we gather around the piano and we begin to lift our voice and lift our hands and praise the Lord and that's great. But it doesn't have to only happen here. I mean, it can happen out in the parking lot. It can happen in the middle of your day. It can happen and probably should happen in the middle of your trial and tribulation. Because in the Old Testament days, the worshipers and the praisers went before the soldiers. How many of you know that? Warfare is done through worship. And tonight I want to wrap this up by looking at God's continual providential care and His provisions for us. How many of you know that He's providing for us day by day? Day in and day out, God is making provision both physically and spiritually. These are all very powerful reasons. Very valid, very powerful reasons for us to praise and bless His holy name. You just stop and think for a moment of what would you do, what would you have, what value would your life have outside of Jesus? The song said, "Take the world, but give me Jesus." There couldn't have been a better song for tonight than this. Take the world, give me Jesus. And then the other song that they did was "All My Life, You Have Been Faithful. You've been so good." Just shut your eyes for a moment right here in the midst of Bible study. Just close your eyes and just begin to look at your life and look at how many times and places where God has been so good. Even in the midst of your trial and your tribulation, on your worst day, God has been so much better than the devil on his best day. In Psalm chapter 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." Man, that verse is packed out. That verse is loaded. Blessed be the Lord who daily, not just every once in a while, but daily, every day, daily He loads us with benefits. David saw the Lord's presence on Zion as he was blessing, first of all, a blessing to those who were burdened and in danger. Jehovah, our King, bears our burdens and defeats our enemies. How many of you know that the Lord is mindful of that burden that you're bearing? How many of you know that He said, "Cast your cares on Me, for I care for you"? David certainly saw the Lord win great victories for Israel so that the borders of the kingdom were greatly enlarged. And as the procession to Mount Zion continued, David leads the congregation in praise to God. He reminded the worshipers not only of God's deliverance in the past, but also of His faithful care in the present. Listen, if you ever doubt the faithfulness of God, just look back in your life at how many times over and over and over and over God has delivered you and I. He might not have gave you what you thought you wanted or what you thought you had to have, but He gave you what was good for you. He gave you not only what was good for you and I, but He gave us what was best. There's been times in my life, there have been so many things I begged God for. "Oh, God." And His answer was no. And it fires you up, right? And we're just like, oh man, God, I know I need that. And about 2 years down the road, as you look back on that situation, you're like, whew, Lord. Anybody agree? bear witness with the preacher on that? Oh, Lord. Thank you for saying no. He pointed to that glorious day when Jesus Christ will return to Zion as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At my death, give me Jesus. The cross before me and the world behind me. David praised God for His daily care in their lives, and we need to praise God for His daily care in our life. How miserable would our lives be without the care and the concern and the love and the nurture of Almighty God? Listen, aren't you glad for grace? Because He'd have killed me a long time ago if it wasn't for grace. I mean, he gone. The word load there. He daily loads us. This word load has a couple of meanings. It can either mean to place a load upon or to carry a load. It can have both of those. And the literal translation, as I studied this out, the literal translation of who daily loads us with benefits, it's either a picture of God's continually loading us up with benefit after benefit, or it is a picture of God continually carrying our loads of burden. Can I just tell you, it's both? Not only is He loading us down with the blessings and the benefits of God, but He's carrying our burdens as well. The King James translators referred to the former, adding the words with benefit that bring completion to the thought, but most other translators have understand it to mean that God carries our loads and bears our burdens, and they're both true, and they both emphasize how much God cares for us. We need to take a look every day at how much God loves us and how much God cares for us. Not just in the big things, but in the little things. God cares for us. He carries our burdens. He's continually providing for us abundantly every day, continually bestowing upon us the gifts of grace. Maybe you're grateful for that. The gift of His grace, and He graciously bears our burdens. I want to read Psalm 147. Psalm 147. All 20 verses of it. It says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel and of Myrtle Creek. Hello. He gathers up the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars, and He calls them by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young raven that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horses. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. Praise the Lord. O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and waters to flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. See, when Nehemiah and his people finished rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, restoring the gates and resettling the people, they called a great assembly for celebration and dedication. And it is very likely that it was this psalm was written for that occasion. And the verb there, the verbiage to gather together in verse 2, is also found in Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 28 for the return of the captives to Judah. And the word outcast in verse 2 is used also for these exiles. One of the unique characteristics of this psalm is the large number of present participles. You didn't know I was an English teacher, didn't you? Present participles. What's a present participle? Well, it's a building. It's words like building and hearing and binding and counting and lifting up and so on. All of them speak of the constant and the dynamic working of the Lord for His people. Listen, He's working every day. He's building us up every day. He's directing our lives every day if we'll just submit to Him. If we'll just let Him build us up. If we'll just let Him bind us up. If we'll just let Him, if we just would count on Him. See, this psalm, in this psalm, it's broken up. It can be broken up in three passages, three separate passages, and can be likened to three reasons why you and I should praise the Lord. And every one of these sections is marked off by the command to praise the Lord, to praise God. Number one, verses 1 through 6, it talks about, it says, praise the Lord, His people have been restored. Aren't you glad you've been restored? I'm glad that I've been restored. Both Israel and Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted the captivity of the Jews as well as their release and their return. And God's prophetic word proved true as it always does. God's word prophetically will always come true. It will always come to pass. I've been given prophetic words over my life that have spoken directly and succinctly to my life. One was given to me on Sunday morning, and I'm hanging on to them. It's good and it's great to be told, well, that's a great message, and you know that spoke to my life, and those are all great. But I try and just turn loose of those real quick and just send them right on to God. God, it's only because of You. It's only because of what You've done. But when somebody comes and says, listen, I've got a word. I feel like this is a word from the Lord and it's specific to you. And that word bears witness with your spirit, lines up in your spirit. Listen, grab onto that thing and hang on to it. Because it's those kinds of things that will carry you through the hard times. God's prophetic word is always true. The psalmist did not simply notice the event. He also noticed the way that the Lord tenderly cares for His people. I mean, listen, can you not recognize in your own life how the Lord has tenderly cared for you? I mean, tenderly. Many have lost loved ones in the invasion and during their time in Babylon, and all returned to a devastated land and ruined houses. It's no wonder they were brokenhearted. You realize that God's Word says that He will bind up the brokenhearted? The wounds and the sorrows were in their hearts, not in their body. For many had repented and confessed their sins to the Lord, and through the Word, the Lord gave them the comfort that they needed. Listen, God will bring you peace and comfort. God will walk you through the storm. It might get rough. It might get bumpy. It might get rocky. One of the things that Mike and I noticed down in Brookings last week when we went down to that fire down there, we was standing out there and was looking over the beach, you know, over the surf. And it was rough. Remember that, Mike? It was rough. I mean, them waves, big old waves, bam, they were just rolling and slamming. But just, 30 feet on the other side of this rock structure that sticks out there called a jetty, it was just like calm. It was just calm. It can be really rough out here, and just over the jetty, it's calm. There's safety in the harbor. But how many of you realize God has not called the church to hide in the harbor? We are on a battleship, not a cruise ship. I've been on battleships, and I've been on cruise ships. You've never been in the military, Pastor. How have you ever been on a battleship? My son was in the Navy. And I went to Hawaii, to Pearl Harbor, got on his frigate, which is one of the smallest boats, ship, whatever it is, in the Navy, and rode from Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, to San Diego. Let me just tell you something. There's a stark difference between the way a battleship rides and the way a cruise ship rides. At cruise ship, the seas can just be rough, and it's just like, battleship, not so much. The captain said, or the commander, whatever he was on the ship, he said, listen, men, he had this little meeting before we all took off, and he said, listen, he said, for the last 9 months, it's been like we've been floating around in a bathtub. That's exactly what he said. But he said, I'm going to tell you this morning that for the next 4 days, that's all going to change. We're going to have 18 to 22 to 24 foot seas for the next 4 days. And I was so grateful that I went to the doctor and got them patches to put, because I get seasick, Lord. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime event. I didn't want to spend the whole time sick. Man, I put that here, and that dude was spot on. When we got outside of those rock jetties, those barriers, those protectors of the harbor, and as we got outside of them, everything began to change. Up and down, and up and down. 24 hours a day. Up and down. I've been on cruise ships to Mexico. You just bob along. The church is a battleship. It's to go in the harbor to replenish and restock and those kinds of things. But then it has to get back out where life is happening, where it's a little bumpy. In fact, if you go back in your Bible, and I know I'm getting off track, but it lines up, because when the Bible says that the disciples were in the boat and they saw Jesus walking on the waves and the sea was boisterous. Have you ever looked up the word boisterous? rough. 18 to 20 foot seas, rough. It was rough. The winds were blowing. The waves were going crazy. And it's in the midst of that that Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started looking at the sea. And that's when Peter began to sink. But church, he is there and he's for us. And he loves us. And our God is so great that he knows every person. And he knows every one of our needs. And I've begged God, I've cried out to God, I've sought God, I've prayed, I've done all this stuff. God, deliver this and deliver that and deliver the other thing out of my life. And so far it hasn't happened, but he just tells me, you just keep walking, pilgrim. We just have to keep walking. The God of the galaxies who knows the name of every star is also the God who heals the broken hearts of his people. Your heart ain't so broke that God can't fix it. Your despair is not so dark that God's light can't illuminate it. Your pain isn't so great that God's touch can't deliver you from it. The first one is praise the Lord. His people have been restored. The second one in verses 7 through 11 is sing to the Lord. The land has been refreshed. Hasn't this rain been nice? It's refreshing. How much work could I get done with a masticator after the rain? You know why? Because you can see. I kicked up so much dust. The exiles returned to a land that had been left a war zone for 7 decades. That's for 70 years. And they needed the early and the latter rains in order to get a harvest. And the Lord gathered the clouds over the land and emptied their life-giving rain on the newly planted seeds. I'm so grateful for the rain. It cleans the sky. How many of you are glad you can go outside and take a big deep breath and doesn't feel like you've got your head stuck in a campfire somewhere? And I love campfires, but man... See, he even caused the grass to grow on the mountains where nobody had even planted any seed yet. He gave food to the wild beasts so they wouldn't attack the humans, and he even sent food to those noisy young ravens. You ever been around ravens? Man, they can drive you nuts. The ancients believed that young ravens were abandoned by the parent birds and had to find their own food, and it was essential that the men and their farm animals stay healthy so they could work toward a harvest and be able to feed themselves and their families. But as important as that was, the most important thing was to trust the Lord. All that other stuff is important, but the number one thing is to trust the Lord. Fear the Lord. Give Him delight as He beheld their devotion and their obedience. Does He behold your devotion and your obedience? It's an awesome thought that we can bring pleasure to the heart of the Heavenly Father. And as good as that is, it's also an awesome thought that we can bring pain to the heart of the Father. That we can grieve the heart of the Father. And finally, in verses 12 through 20, praise the Lord, for the Word has been revealed. Aren't you glad tonight that you have the Word of God? Aren't you glad that any time you want to hear His voice, you can just crack open your Bible and read His Word? when you have a situation in your life, when you need direction in your life, when you have questions about your life, you can simply crack open God's Word. You don't need to have a word from God. You don't need to have a word from an evangelist. You don't need to have a word from the pastor. You don't need to have a word from the prophet. You have the Word of God. Everything that pertains to the issues of life is compiled in the Word of God. If you'll just get in there and look around, you'll find it to be so. God's prophetic Word made possible the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And then the Lord added His blessing to the city and its people. I believe that a prophetic Word has come for a building to be built right out there. I believe that. And I believe the blessings are going to be added by the Lord on this city and on these people. I believe that. Hailstorms and snowstorms are frequent in the Holy Land, and the truth is, they're frequent in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, except in the higher altitudes and the higher elevations. But the Word of God accomplishes all that He has sent it forth to do. His Word, He said, My Word will not. It will not return void. It will accomplish all that I've set it forth to do. The Word brings the winter and it brings springtime, for all creation obeys the will of the Lord. This truth prepares the way for the final thrust of the psalm. God gave His Word to Israel and they must obey it even as creation obeys it. We're talking about praising the Lord. There's a passage of Scripture, I believe it's in the Psalms, it might be even Proverbs, I'm not for sure. It says, if we don't praise Him, that the rocks will cry out. Listen, I don't want to stand before the Lord, Bob, and have to explain to Him why I let a rock outshout me. A rock. It's a privilege for us, as it was a privilege for the people of Israel, to be bearers of God's Word and to share it with the world. So long the church has been under this false false assumption, false concept that sharing God's Word is the pastor's job. Evangelizing the city is the pastor. I mean, that's why we pay him the big bucks. And that's wrong. My job as the pastor is to prepare you to take the gospel out. The spreading the word, preaching the gospel, telling the good news of the gospel, it ought not be a scary thing. If you'll just read your Bible, if you'll just look back over your life and where God picked you up out of the miry clay and established you on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, if you just learn to tell that story and couple it with, this is what God did, and this is what God's Word says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. I know that's true because I was that person. And God saved me. And He established me. It's not a scary thing. It's a privilege. It's a privilege and it's an honor to share the Word of God with the world. After the fall of Jerusalem, Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 9, "The law is no more, but God's Word was not destroyed with the city and the temple." God's Word, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, God's Word endures forever. God's Word endures forever. The church today, this church is blessed by having the Word of God, but we must obey it and we must share it with the lost world. It is not an option. I have to line up with God's Word. You have to line up with God's Word. You don't have an option. You don't have a choice. Well, I guess you do have a choice. But you don't have a choice if you want your life to please and honor God. Then the choice has been made by God's Word. Our job is to line up with God's Word. And when I fail God's Word, I've got to get before God and say, God, forgive me. Help me. Strengthen me. Establish me on the precepts and the principles of Your Word. And God, help me to praise You through the trials and the tribulations and the storms of life. The Jewish nation took great care to protect the manuscripts of God's Word, and their scholars carefully counted the letters and the words, but they didn't look beyond the text into the truth that was being taught. And when the Messiah came, they did not recognize Him. He didn't fit into their mold. Listen, He ain't going to fit in your mold either. You're not going to be able to contain Him in your pea brain. He's bigger than that. God's Word is not going to line up with you. You have to line up with it. If it says this, that's what it means. We have to understand that God's not revolving around me. Just like the earth, the sun isn't revolving around the earth. The earth revolves around the sun. You and I are to honor and glorify Him. How easy is it for us to respect the Word of God, bind it in expensive letter, and explain it with exhaustive notes, and yet not obey what it tells us to do? That's an indictment, isn't it? On the church. We respect the Word of God. We bind it in expensive leather. We explain it with exhaustive notes, and yet not obey what it tells us to do. You know how come I know that's true? That was a question. Got one of them little umbrella things on it. It doesn't stop. It hovers. Floats along, waiting for an answer. What was the question? You're in the front row. What? The question was, why do I know that this is true? And the answer is, because if we obeyed what God's Word says to do, this church would be full tonight. Our bank account would be overflowing. The lost would be flocking into this place because all of us would be doing what I've been talking about. Preaching the gospel, carrying the responsibility to take the gospel out there, and our lives would be shining examples of God living and working in our lives. And the truth is, the church isn't doing that. But the church needs to be doing that. And I'm going to keep provoking you. And I'm going to keep prodding you. And I'm going to keep challenging you to take this message outside. Let me close with this because I'm way out of time. Evangelist D.L. Moody said every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. Which is another way of saying faith without works is dead. Let me close with this. I already closed once. This is my second closing. I can close as many times as I want because I'm the pastor. We're going to be held accountable, every one of us, for what we've heard, for what we've read, and what we've done. And even more than that, what we haven't done. And so I closed 44 pages of notes on praise tonight with the challenge. What would happen if we began to praise the Lord all over this city? What would happen if we just began to just praise the Lord in the grocery store? Praise the Lord! $7.50 a gallon for diesel fuel in California that I paid for. Man, thank you, Lord! Woo! Ground up dinosaur, $7.50 a gallon. What are we praising God for? Where are we praising God at? And why are we praising God? Or why aren't we? I believe we ought to just start praising God. We've come to praise Him. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him and bless His holy name. Probably the wrong key, but it's the only one I had. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him and bless His holy name. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him and lift His holy name.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise. Unto the Lord, make a joyful noise. Unto the Lord, you ought to praise the Lord while you have a chance. Well, we come to praise Him. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him. Lift His holy name. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him and lift His holy name. Come on. Unto the Lord, make a joyful noise. Unto the Lord, come on, praise the Lord while you have a chance. Well, I'm gonna praise Him
before the rocks cry.
I'm gonna praise Him.
I'm gonna sing and shout.
I'm gonna praise Him and lift His holy name. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him. We come to praise Him and lift His holy name. Lord, we come together tonight, Lord, just to worship You and to praise You. Lord, we just come before You tonight to just say thank You, thank You, thank You for all that You've done for us. God, we come tonight to thank You for what You're going to do in every one of our lives. I thank You, God, that Your people are going to begin to praise You in the marketplace. Your people are going to begin to praise You in the workplace. Your people are going to begin to praise You, oh God, on the highways and the byways. Lord, your people are going to begin to praise you, Lord, everywhere that we go, all that we do. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that revival would begin to break out in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, oh God. Lord, that people would begin to find ways to reach out and touch the hem of the garment of Almighty God. Lord, that these chairs will be filled on Sunday morning with people hungry for the things of God. Lord, that your people will be back on Sunday night, oh God, ready to hear the voice of the Lord once again with the evangelist that's coming on Sunday night. God, I pray your blessing on him. I pray you speak through him to this congregation. A fresh voice, Lord, in our crowd, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bring, Lord, revival individually in the lives of your people. Revival into the church. Revival into our city, oh God. And for that, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen and amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for joining us tonight on the internet. I pray you are blessed tonight. I pray that God lights a fire inside of you that the devil can't put out. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.